Hi, everyone. I'm Alyssa DeVincenis, and I worked under Robin Brumfield from Rutgers University. And I just want to acknowledge Paul Gottlieb and Jim Johnson, who also contributed to this project. The title of the presentation is The Cost Analysis of Recycling Water in Greenhouses in New Jersey. So just for some overview, there are currently no laws in New Jersey restricting water use in agricultural operations. However, there are five growers in southern New Jersey that are concerned with their water management and conservation, and they've taken some proactive steps to recycle their irrigation water. Although there currently are no laws demanding that they do, they're just anticipating them in the future. So there are three nurseries and two greenhouses that I visited to discuss their water management techniques. Four of these are recycling, and one served as the control, who uses strict water management techniques instead of recycling. So the main focus of this study was to discuss their disinfection systems, because as you recycle water, there's the potential to recycle disease, and the water needs to be disinfected properly to ensure the safety of the entire operation. So we wanted to look at the costs and benefits of recycling, specifically in the Kirkwood-Cohansey Aquifer, which is the map depicts, which is the area where most of these farms were located. So I traveled to each of these operations, and I conducted on-site interviews with the growers. And these interviews were filmed by another office at Rutgers, and I also got their financial information on-site. So we took all of this information and compiled it into educational videos and also infographics, which summarize each operation and kind of simplify the entire recycling process. So I'm going to go through each grower's operation with you and show each infographic. So we started at Centerton Nursery, which uses UV light to disinfect their water. So this is just the summary of their entire operation. They have 230 acres that they're recycling on, and they use a tailwater recovery system to collect their irrigation water. So that sits in a retention pond, and then that is filtered and treated with UV light before it's reused. So they are an interesting case because they've had some trouble with frogs growing in their pond, and it's actually damaged their infrastructure and caused them to start replacing parts prematurely. So they're under the impression that they're not making money off this recycling system, but that they just felt a responsibility to do it. And you can see on the bottom the investment per acre and the maintenance cost per acre. It's about $2,000 that they had to invest, but only half of that was their money. They received 50% cost sharing from the National Resource Conservation Service, which is a great tool for nurseries interested in this type of practice. And cumulatively, the recycled water makes up 50% of all of their irrigation use. Next, I'm going to talk about Lowe's Nursery, which is a smaller scale operation, and they use chlorine gas to disinfect their water. So this summarizes their system. As I said, it's a smaller scale. It's only about 20 acres that they're using recycled water on, and they have two retention basins on their property. They collect their water, treat it with chlorine gas, and then reuse it, and that makes up about 50% of their water, about 25 million gallons a year. So they were an interesting case because they had a different motivation to recycle. They had about 150 gallons per minute runoff into the Cohansey River, which ran through their property. And they wanted to stop any type of contamination before it became a problem. There was a study conducted there that showed that the water quality was pretty much the same before and after their discharge. There was a higher phosphorus concentration, but it wasn't an illegal level. They just wanted to kind of take the proactive step to stop any damage before it started. So you can see their investment and maintenance costs are a little bit higher than the previous nursery, and they also received the 50% cost sharing. So Overdevis Nurseries also uses chlorine gas, but on a much larger scale. This is the picture of Ed Overdevis, and he's really dedicated to recycling the most water that he can, and he just invested over $1 million in his most recent recycling system. He actually invested in chlorine gas back in the 1980s, and he had that system running just until this past spring when he implemented this new system that I'm going to show. So he has 150 acres of containers that he's using recycled water on, and he collects that water through the tailwater recovery system, and he treats it with chlorine gas and then puts it into a holding basin. So he's basically creating this enormous reservoir that he can use personally, and that the benefit of this is that the chlorine has an added dwell time to interact with the water, and he's hoping that that additional 2 weeks potentially that the water's sitting in that tank will increase the efficiency of the chlorine so that hopefully he'll have to use less chlorine in the future. And last year estimated that the recycled water actually took up 2/3 of his irrigation, so significantly more than the other operations. And that will probably only increase now that he's using the new system that just went into effect this past spring. So that number will probably just get better in the future. But you can see his investment costs are a lot greater than the other nurseries, almost $8,000 per acre, and that's probably an underestimate. And he did receive cost sharing from the NRCS, but it was difficult to put a percentage on it because he's had a lot of projects going simultaneously, but he did use them as a resource. So next I'm going to talk about the greenhouses. I visited Lucas Greenhouses, which is a very high-end operation that uses a three-pronged disinfection system to collect and recycle 100% of their water. So this summarizes their recycling system. They use flood floors to irrigate 18 acres, and then they capture all of the water that they're using. So the clean water goes into one tank. It's charged so that ozone can disinfect the water, and then it's just quickly recycled. Other water that is used for a bonsai drench or has some kind of chemical application is put into a different tank, and that tank is treated three ways. It is charged so that ozone kills the pathogens, then UV light removes the ozone from the water, and then the water is put through a bioreactor to make sure that all the chemicals are destroyed. So this system has ensured that they've been able to use and recycle 100% of their water, and they have virtually no runoff or waste. And you can see on the bottom it's a much more expensive system, almost $24,000 per acre to invest, and then they spend about $2,400 per acre a year to maintain it. But it has been a really effective system for them, and they're extremely happy with the quality of the plants that they're producing. And finally, we went to QPAC, which, as I said, was kind of our control. They do not recycle, but they do disinfect. They use a copper disinfection system, which you can see the copper bars on the right over there. So they use well water and treat it with copper ionization. They run it over copper electrified bars. And then they use really strict water management to individually water every plant based on its specific needs. So that means that they virtually have no runoff, and it's been a really successful tool for them. Any small runoff that they do have, like from propagation, runs out onto a ditch on their property where they're using aquatic plants to naturally filter it. So they have virtually 0%, zero runoff, but they are not recycling either. This is kind of the opposite approach from the flood floors. So some conclusions we came to after making all these visits are that there's kind of two approaches to responsible greenhouse water management. On the left side, recycling 100% of your water, as Lucas Greenhouses do, is a really expensive investment, but they have seen a really huge improvement in their plant health, and their entire operation is extremely clean because of the use of the ozone water. Unfortunately, that requires a heavy investment, and you actually have to rebuild this type of greenhouse from the floor up. He said that it is very difficult to retrofit a greenhouse with these tanks underneath. So the other approach is to recycle none of your water, but also have no runoff by using the wet-dry cycle to water each plant individually, and they've seen an improved root-to-shoot ratio from this approach. So this summarizes all of the investment costs through each operation. You can see that the three-pronged disinfection from the greenhouse is the most expensive for sure, and the nurseries are in a similar range for the chlorine use. However, the UV light is definitely the cheapest method for nurseries to use. And you can see the copper method is definitely the cheapest of all, and on this scale, the investment per acre, you can't really distinguish it even from the maintenance. So we wanted to do a cost analysis of all this information, and we calculated a net present value, which shows that potentially all of the nurseries could be making money off of these systems, and that the two greenhouses probably are not. So unfortunately, with this, there was a lot of benefits that we could not include in the analysis. So this net present value accounts for the added costs of all the investments in maintenance, but the only reduced costs were the foregone cost of drilling wells. So you can see they've avoided the expense of drilling a lot of wells, but it's still an underestimate because there are all of these anecdotal benefits that we weren't able to put a price tag on. For example, a lot of the operations have been using it as a marketing tool, and they've anecdotally been able to say that their plants are healthier and that they've had less death, but not necessarily have been able to put a percentage on it. They've also seen more satisfied customers, and a few of them have seen reduced fertilizer costs, which we were able to integrate into some of the analysis. And finally, we compiled all of the grower advice. A lot of them agreed upon a lot of things, and we wanted to make this available to growers who are interested in potentially investing in a system like this. So they all agree that it's important to be proactive and be one step ahead of the laws and to design a system on your own terms. And they encourage people to look at other systems and visit as many people as possible to get as many ideas as you can. The nurseries all agreed to build the largest reservoir possible and to plan ahead and anticipate future expansion to allow for versatility with watering. And they all said to be prepared to spend a lot of money, but to look into cost sharing from the NRCS because three of them have saved quite a bit of money by using that resource. And all of that information and more details are going to be available online for growers to access and in the form of educational videos. So I just want to thank my advisors and all of my collaborators on this project. Thank you.
Thank you. We have a few minutes for questions. Just a quick clarification here. For your net present value, how many years did you do?
30 years. And we had the well investment at the 10th year.
For the net present value again, how do you use to make your return? You mentioned healthy plants. Did you have any evidence that, you know, healthy plants will present any positive profit to the grower?
That's the problem with that. The analysis that we found is that we could only account for the reduced cost of the foregone cost of the wells. We couldn't really estimate any benefits. So it just turned into a reduced cost versus an added cost kind of analysis.
Reduced cost in inputs to treat non-healthy plants?
Not reduced cost, added cost of investment. And then the reduced cost of not drilling the wells. We couldn't really get hard numbers from the growers on exactly how many plants they were healthier. It was a lot of anecdotal experiences that we couldn't really put hard numbers on. So the net present value is definitely an underestimate, and I think they're more profitable than that shows.
Did you do any research into comparing the price that the growers giving for their systems versus typical installation costs, like different parts of the country, things like that, in order to say, well, you know, maybe these growers either pay too much or too little, or kind of comparing the systems that they put in versus kind of, you know, typical prices?
No, I didn't do that. We just looked at these five in New Jersey. Yeah.
Well, if there are no other questions, do we have any other questions for any other speakers? If not, I want to thank you all for coming and give a round of applause again to all of the speakers.